Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:41, and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today is June 13th, and it was a pretty soft day on stock markets today. And that was particularly the case in Asia, where the Nikkei was down 3.5%. And certainly that's a response to the weakness that we saw on Wall Street last week. But it's also down to the fact that the yen was a little bit weaker. About 0.8 of a full yen down, or stronger today, excuse me, but right testing its high around the 106 level. And considering that this is still a consistent medium-term downtrend for the dollar, and that the yen, and certainly the Bank of Japan doesn't appear to be voicing any particular concern here, then that is weighing on stock markets. Now, the Nikkei still has this progression of higher reaction lows, and the yen is testing its peak. So there is potential for the yen to pause and for the Nikkei to bounce. But if it's going to do it, it would have to be doing it in pretty sharp order, or we're going to see an additional down leg. Then the CSI 300 was down by 3% as well in China. Now the Hang Seng was down by less, but what we're seeing is that there is a little bit of jitteriness in China, and particularly that the market pulling back ahead of the MSCI's decision tomorrow about what they're going to do with A shares, whether they're going to wait another year or whether they're going to incrementally add them in. Is still open to question, but regardless of what their decision is, that there wouldn't actually be any shares added to the index for nearly a year. And but I continue to think that if they do decide to go ahead and add some of those shares into the emerging markets basket, that it will act as a tailwind for the A shares concerned, which are going to be the big caps. And when we look at that CSI 300, it is quite obvious that the 3,000 level has been defended at least twice already in the last 7 months. So with it at 3,066 right now, it is a big question as to whether the monetary authorities or the government are going to continue to defend that 3,000 level. And in the interests of fostering at least some faith that the extreme volatility that was present last year has ended, I suspect that they will continue to defend that area. But that doesn't mean that the renminbi is going to stop going down. And the renminbi having really posted an upward dynamic, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, has come right back down to test its lows. And part of the reason that Bitcoin is surged higher here today. Now, it wasn't able to hold all of the gain intraday, but it was up about $80, which is a fairly substantial jump and a massive upward dynamic and a breakaway gap in technical terms. Part of the reason it's doing that is because 80% of Bitcoin trading is Chinese related, and people are getting a bit antsy about their ability to get money out of the country. And the China's currency controls are perhaps the thing that that maintain stability within the economy, because there is an awful lot of money sitting around in savings that can't leave the country, and therefore that helps to act as a fundamental support for the banking sector, because all those deposits are sitting there bolstering their capital. Now, when we look at Europe, then it's a very similar story to what we saw all of last week, that the majority of these indices are encountering resistance in the region of their respective trend means. And the one to watch, of course, is the DAX, being the big heavyweight in the region. And that was down 1.8% in here today and continues to pull back from the region of the MA. That's exactly the same for the FTSE or the CAC, or indeed the Spanish or Italian indices. And with the Brexit vote coming up on the 23rd, then that is a potential flashpoint. And what we're seeing is a bit of sell the rumor potentially by the news getting priced into these markets. Because when you look at the, for example, at oddschecker.com, then despite the fact that you had some very negative, of course, that depends on your perspective, but there was a big shift towards the Leave camp in a number of polls over the weekend. And then what that has been priced into markets in here today, and yet Odds Checker is still, it's not heavily in favor of the Stay camp, but it does suggest that betting continues to support that perspective. And then when you look at the pound, that it was down today, but only very marginally, particularly considering that it was down as low as 141.16 and closed out today at 142.47. It means that it rallied off its low pretty impressively in here today, suggesting that despite the escalation in emotionality, that traders are less willing to countenance the possibility that the UK is going to vote to leave, but nevertheless it remains a wild card and likely to continue to represent a source of volatility for the next 10 days. And because of that, the uncertainty that we have ahead of this vote, Wall Street was weaker in here today and finished pretty close to its lows. So the Nasdaq was down almost a full percent, the S&P down 17, and there was a bit of to and fro in terms of the trading action in here today, but by and large what we're seeing is that these indices are pulling back from the upper side of their respective ranges. For the S&P, that's pretty close to its all-time peak, and for the Nasdaq this represents another lower high. It's a third lower high now in the last 6 months. And then you look at the activity that we're seeing in the news flow, with Microsoft paying an obscene amount of money for LinkedIn, which really is a marginal business, and the response of the other social media companies, that they didn't rally. Even the better performers like Yelp or TripAdvisor pulled back in here today, suggesting that the market really does believe that Microsoft has paid way too much money for LinkedIn, that they're not going to get their money back, and that it isn't going to encourage or is unlikely to encourage additional M&A activity within the sector. Nevertheless, when you look at some of these companies, they have fallen a lot already, and whether the prices that they're even currently trading at are justified by their respective fundamentals is probably open to question. But I suspect that this is still a sector that is worth monitoring for signs of investor interest once more, simply because we're in an incredibly low interest rate environment, and the German Bund is now yielding 2 basis points. And everything with a maturity of less than 10 years in Germany is in a negative yield. Everything with a maturity of less than 2 years in Italy has a negative yield. Then it's a pretty similar story right across the Eurozone, depending on maturity. The entire yield curve for Japan is in a negative territory. And considering that we do have what is potentially turning into a risk-off environment for stocks, then that's, generally speaking, a bullish characteristic for bond prices, which has the potential to send even more bonds into negative territory. And that's inherently deflationary. If we just look at what the bond market is telling us, that negative interest rates are inherently deflationary. Now, gold prices were stronger in here today by almost $10, and silver by 11 cents. And part of the reason for that is because they don't pay any interest at all. But it's no interest at all is certainly better than people reaching into your pocket and taking your money out. Then it's only a question, and it is obviously, it's a very important question, but it's a very big question. When is it central banks are going to realize that the policies that they are currently pursuing are contrary to their stated objective of encouraging inflation? Because when they eventually do realize that, then they're going to about face, and then they're going to start printing again, and then the printing that would be required in order to achieve their goals is likely to dwarf the kind of printing that they've already engaged in. So little wonder then that gold prices are really quite steady in here, and as gold comes right back up towards this $1,300 level, there is potential that we get a little bit of consolidation, considering that it's been up on consecutive days. But when we look at that medium-term trend, it continues to look like a first step above a type 2 bottom. And when we break out of that first step, then that breakout is likely to be emphatic. And the correlation between gold and oil has been quite high from the beginning of the year. And I wonder, will that break down? Because oil prices were a little bit weaker in here today, down about 50 cents. And then you look at, for example, Brent crude, and it has this just what has been a very impressive and very consistent advance. It's finishing out the day at almost $50 exactly. And a break in that progression of higher reaction lows, which in itself would be a larger reaction than we've seen since January, would be really required to question the consistency of that advance. But when we look at what has driven the rebound from the, in terms of the outperformance, what has driven the rally from the January lows, then it is the energy sector and the materials sector. So then the ability of the market to continue to rally if oil prices do indeed experience a larger pullback would very much be brought into question. So if we break it down into short, medium, and term and long term, then short term there is additional risk of a further pullback, at least over the next couple of weeks. Medium term, when central banks eventually do come to their senses and realize that they're fomenting deflation rather than inflation, then we could be in for another liquidity surge, which would help to inflate asset prices. But that could longer term result in an investment bubble, and it could be quite a bit larger than the one we saw in 2007, bursting in 2007. So it is a difficult environment overall, which again is part of the reason that that gold prices are so firm. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.